Hey everybody, a quick note before we get started. I just wanted to add in something that we forgot to mention, and that is that the airdrop for the EOS Venezuela crypto peso is actually throughout the month of September. It ends at the end of September. So I didn't want you to miss out on this. So I wanted to be sure that you knew about the timing of that. And we will get into all of the details of the airdrop throughout this episode, and you can learn more and get excited for it. But just wanted to mention that. Now on to the show. Hi, everyone. This is JP, and you are listening to the Exploring EOS podcast. You can find all of our episodes at exploringeos.com. You can also find me on Twitter at exploringeos. Today, we are talking with EOS Venezuela about their plan to bring EOS and the crypto peso to Venezuela and Latin America. I have with me today Alberto Guerrero Montilla, the founder of EOS Venezuela. Alberto, welcome to the Exploring EOS podcast.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. This is a very nice day to talk here and our previous chat before the show. Shows me that it's going to be an interesting conversation.
Absolutely. Now, Alberto, can you just take a minute to introduce yourself and give your little bit about your background so people can get to know you?
Cool. I'm the founder and CEO of EOS Venezuela Block Producers. We are an organization that comes from the Steemit community, actually. A bunch of enthusiasts and people that are thinking of how to use the benefits of blockchain technology and cryptocurrencies to bring a better situation to Venezuela in our Latin American context. I've been working with blockchain for about 2 years officially, and I discovered Bitcoin. That was, of course, the first idea that introduced me to all this world in 2013, because I took it as the topic for my master thesis. So in that time, Bitcoin was so still geek, I guess, that I remember when I first read about it, it was $19, one Bitcoin. And it was something like one of those figures from a Comic Con or something like that, you know, something like, oh, it's so rare, 19, wow.
Yeah.
And now it's impressive how everything has evolved from that to now my personal mission to use blockchain technology as a way to build a new interaction of society and economy and politics in Venezuela. We are actually working with everything that the opposition as standby block producers of the EOS blockchain, our knowledge about the crypto world, and of course the massive networking that this position gives us. So we are building, we are writing actually official proposals to use these benefits, these opportunities to bring an economic and let's say some sort of political and social plan for Venezuela to get out of our current situation. That was the theme of our candidacy to be an EOS block producer, and that's what has brought us to the point that we are today. And I'm very glad and very grateful that everyone has helped us to build this idea.
Yeah, well, I definitely support what you guys are doing. You know, from here in the United States, seeing the news about Venezuela is really heartbreaking and horrifying. I think everybody would love to see a peaceful resolution there and more freedom and everything for the Venezuelan people. And so I definitely support what you do. I actually, before we got on the call, I went in and renewed my vote for EOS Venezuela as a block.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome, definitely. And especially with the crypto peso project that you guys are working on, something I'm very excited about. I forget the episode number, but but I did an episode that talked about doing something similar, just kind of putting the idea out there. And so it's really great to see somebody doing this, and particularly somebody from Venezuela who can have a real impact. And before we get to the crypto peso, can you tell me just a little bit more about how you got into EOS specifically, and what you like about EOS? And, you know, I know you said you started out in the Steemit community. I think a lot of people, I've heard a few block producers say that they started out in Steemit. And so can you just talk a little bit more specifically about why EOS?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. For my first introduction to crypto, like I said, was Bitcoin. And Bitcoin has a very specific purpose, and maybe marketing, you know, like everyone when talks about Bitcoin, talks about money, right? The interesting thing was in 2016, I discovered that this man, Dan Larimer, that I only heard about him because I used one time BitShares. You know, I was like, oh, let's see what this BitShares is. But I wasn't like a really a user or an active person in there. So I heard about him, and I remember that the news was like, this guy, Dan Larimer, he's going to launch Steemit. And then, you know, Steemit, social network on the blockchain. By that time, to be honest, the word blockchain didn't mean that much. It was some sort of like, oh yeah, weird, interesting, new, but that's all. And then Steemit, in my experience and what we have developed until today as the Venezuelan community on Steemit, it's like, it's incredible when you see these other type of applications using this technology. Like for me as an user, Steemit is such a successful platform. It's such a great technology. And then of course, when you're in Steemit, you start to know very well who Dan Larimer is. You know, he was, at least in the beginning, a very active user and person within the platform. So of course, you know who he is now, and you're using his product, and you know that he's amazing. So of course, like a year ago, when Block One says, you know what, we're going to do something even bigger and better, you start to wonder from day one, okay, I want to be here, because you already have some sort of history of what these minds and these professionals can bring. So I've been interested in EOS since the beginning, reading the papers and everything. And we have a same or a similar system of depots, delegated proof of stake on Steemit. So I know already what means this some sort of community involvement and politics, and like actually electing someone to do this work, and actually works perfect. And on Steemit, you can see how the witness in a much lower level, let's say, or simpler level than the block producers, have done some sort of politics and bring products to the community and make the platform to evolve and to get bigger and better. So we know that, how that can work. But I wasn't expecting that people will really care about using these kind of platforms into social missions. And that was like how we hesitated. Our candidacy, the EOS Venezuela block producer candidacy, came out kind of late in comparison with other VPs. We came in March, in the beginning of March, and it was like 1 month and a half of boom, bringing all this together, this message, because that was the important thing, you know? Maybe we for sure can bring the technical work, that's fine. But how we can approach to all these massive audience that is not only like, oh yeah, from America, from Europe. No, this is a worldwide thing. You know, you have to talk to people from every single part of the planet and pretty much appeal to them that, hey, blockchain is a technology that fundamentally can change many things that are wrong with the world. Like right now that we have been elected as a standby producer, we have come to meet people and to see how all these resources can change a lot. We are already working with, like I tell you before, we are working in building a proposal for that country. That's the theme, the proposal that we did as candidates. And that's what we need to deliver now. So to think about a proposal, a plan for a country that is pretty much a fallen state is to rethink pretty much every single aspect. Because it's not like, okay, I'm going to bring computers to modernize Venezuela. No, that's what previous presidents thought, that that was modernization. But modernization is only possible when you put the tools in the hand of the people. If the people cannot use the tool is useless.
Yeah.
So what we think is like, okay, how can we build these tools or these applications and make everyone use it? And that's the only favor that the current government of Venezuela have done to us, that they said, hey, you know what? Cryptocurrency is important. We're going to have one. We don't know yet when or how or which one, but we're going to do one. Okay, cool. So now everyone in Venezuela knows that, oh man, now we're going to have a cryptocurrency. I don't know what that is. I'm not sure how it works, but at least that massive message to at least make everyone heard for the first time, the government did it. So now it's for us, what we are trying to come up with is a very holistic plan where we approach to the problem of the economy with a complementary cryptocurrency, that is the crypto peso. We are working right now in a project with other, I think, five, maybe more block producers, mainly EOS Meso from Guatemala. They are working in a prototype of an app or a system to have elections on the EOS blockchain. And actually, their vision is to use this tool in the next presidential elections in Guatemala in 2019.
So this is different than not elections in terms of electing block producers. You're talking about doing elections for
public elections.
Yeah, public elections. Okay. Well, that would be great. I mean, I'm sure that would help with, you know, transparency and voter fraud and things like
that. Yeah, imagine. That's pretty much the first thing that we try to fight in our countries. That is the corruption and the not transparency of the democratic and quote unquote process in Venezuela. Imagine, like, Venezuela right now, it has a system that works with an electronic vote. With that vote, no one knows, like, how is the process of transferring information. And we know, because in previous elections, outside hackers have proved how easy to change and to manipulate the system is.
Yeah,
and still using it. So we start to talk some block producers, and of course we are super interested about hearing this, because it's easy. It's actually not that expensive. Right now in the proposal that we are building, we are calculating the cost that is a national electoral process in Venezuela cost to the government, and how much it will be the implementation of this, let's say, blockchain election platform. And it's ridiculously, it's like on the blockchain, you will spend no more than 100K at the march. And then when you see the public accounts of the government for each national thing, it's millions of dollars. And that's only what they actually declared, the public numbers. Imagine, like, the real ones.
Right, right.
It's ridiculous. We're talking about, seriously, if we need to rethink how we're going to make Venezuela a livable, amazing country again, we have to think how we're going to use the smarter possible our resources. Right now is a time that we cannot just keep, you know, thinking and playing. This is the time that is actually, we have to be the best and the better. It's the only possible that we could actually survive to what is happening to our country.
Yeah, well, hey, this is exciting stuff, and it's very important. And I know a big project, really the big project that you guys are working on now, is the crypto peso. And as important as elections, you know, making those transparent and honest and everything is, I personally think that having honest money is even more important, because when the people in power can control the money, they can control just about anything. They can pay people off. They can print more money. You know, Venezuela is a prime example of this right now because the inflation rate is just insanely high. The
1,000,000%.
Yeah. What's the currency called now? It's the fuerte.
It's Bolívar. Bolívar, but now they actually, right now, this is absolutely new. The government is changing again because now with the hyperinflation, they just cut, they say, hey, you know what? It's too much. So let's just cut 3 zeros out of the currency. And let's just put like another little name after it.
Oh, so now ridiculous.
It's not Bolívar fuerte, now it's Bolívar soberano.
Okay.
So yeah. So that's how the government is managing the economy at the moment.
And so that's that's basically stealing money from everybody in the country, and then they can use that to help stay in power and to keep keep committing the violence and atrocities that they're doing. You know, and that goes for any government really. So the crypto peso, I think, is just really important. It's a really great idea. Can you tell us about how that's going to work and what your plan is for that?
Yeah. Well, the crypto peso is just one of the axis of the plan that I've been telling you about. And the crypto peso is a crypto token that we created on the EOS blockchain. Because we're thinking, okay, when you talk with a lot of people that knows about this matter, the main problem with massive adoption of a cryptocurrency, that it was, at least when we have Bitcoin as the main standard, was the cost of using this. And of course, we're talking about poor countries in our cases that these costs are actually main driving factors about adoption. So the EOS blockchain is just the perfect answer to one of our challenges. It's a pretty much instant and free transaction economy. So at the moment that we can put the money into the hands of the people, using it is not a problem. And that's our first idea of why creating it on the EOS blockchain and why using it like this. So the crypto peso, our idea is to pretty much a complementary currency that works as the bridge for Venezuelans to the local economy, the local foreign economy, to an international economy. Because the problem, one of the main problems of Venezuela is that the government have a strict control over our economy. So in Venezuela, you cannot trade our currency for any other. Actually, you can, if you leave the country and you bring all your money, that's worth zero. Nothing, because no one else in the world, not any other bank or government, will exchange that to you. So we pretty much have an economy, a local economy that is based on, I don't know, Monopoly little toy papers, because it only works there. So you cannot trade, you cannot build business, you cannot communicate with the outside world. It's just all, you know, in the hands of the elite that is able to actually have control in the government ties or in some sort of how of foreign currency is a black market. And the black market, it's about 1,000 times more expensive than the supposedly local rate. So it's an impossible economy. So what we see, the important part of a cryptocurrency, a crypto token in Venezuela, is that now that is just the opening the door for a global economy. With cryptocurrency, you can just at any moment, at any time, just change it for whatever other currency that you want, send it to the other side of the world, and you know that it's not going to cost. And no one can just come and say, hey, you are Venezuelan. Well, I'm just going to intervene all your bank account and take all your money. This is what is happening to us.
So right. Wow.
Currency is actually an amazing solution to all this.
Yeah. The current currency situation really puts you guys in an impossible situation.
Yeah.
It's really impressive. That's I hadn't realized that about the international component of it. That's really huge.
Yeah. So it's pretty much like trying to offer that Because then this is the second axis, the third axis now of our plan, is we need to put a currency that is possible to be used in Venezuela, but actually be able to communicate to the Venezuelans that are outside of Venezuela. Because one of the things that happened with all these crises, like we have this huge phenomenon of a massive exodus of people outside of going outside of Venezuela. So one of the new, let's say, ways of income for Venezuelans right now is the remittance that their family and friends can do from outside. So again, we need a way to provide that, to provide a channel, a platform for help of outside to Venezuela, because that's one of the new problems.
It's also difficult to send money into Venezuela?
Oh yeah, it's the same control.
Okay.
Actually, the Red Cross had a controversial fight with the Venezuelan government because they wanted to come into Venezuela when they heard that there are no medicines in the hospitals and people are dying. They say, hey, well, we can go there. We can bring medicines. I'll send you the money. And the government is like, no. We don't have any problem here. And if they control the banks, you cannot send money or receive any. So it's the same situation. And here's with this crypto technology helps you and brings this amazing tool. And we want to create maybe a powerful economy that is not based on only the opportunities that Venezuelans can have working in Venezuela. Actually, one of our goals or parts of our project as blog producers is to build or bring online courses and platforms to learn how to code, because we believe that actually this is a very important professional path that you can aspire as a Venezuelan. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter about how bad is your surroundings. It's about you learning how to program, how to code, and that will give you all the offers and all the opportunities in the world, because you can pretty much is the most demanding job in our future. We know it. It's already today difficult to find developers for all the things that we want to do. So now we just want to educate more and more. And that could be an actual solution for the economy in Venezuela, like an actual solution, not completely, but to bring jobs. You know, we have this economist friend that he has calculated that with all the investment of crypto and tools that we could provide for adoption in Venezuela, we could create just this first year about 25,000 jobs every 3 months, every quarter, something like that. It's crazy. I'm it's not possible. Mm-hmm. We can actually, promote a new economy and bring jobs and actually make a way that everything starts to work the better. Amazing. So that's what we're doing. The crypto peso is a special token that we have created, this system that we call the selective airdrop, because we see value on this crypto peso only if it's actually usable. And how is it usable? If you actually give it to the community. So this is not an ICO or anything like that. We said we have to airdrop this thing to everyone. But then we said, okay, our main intention is to actually get to the Venezuelan. And what if the Venezuelans have an EOS account? So that's why we call it the selective airdrop. Mm-hmm. We have in our website tab that is a crypto peso, and we'll actually put you in this process that is a registry. We are in our airdrop. Every Venezuelan citizen can register in our website and participate in the airdrop with or without an EOS account. What we're going to do is we are working right now in a special of quota that every month we can help, giving free EOS accounts to a certain number of Venezuelans. And if we have a lot of people registering, well, good, it's more work, but it's actually the intention that we have to do. And that's the good part of being a blog producer. We actually have the best, position to actually bring this service to the people. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're going to reward the EOS holder too. The crypto peso has a ratio of 1 EOS is about 10 crypto pesos. And the only particularity is Every single EOS holder can register to get the crypto pesos, but we have a cap that any user can get more than 1 million crypto peso. If you have 80 million of EOS tokens, sorry, but we're just going to distribute until 1 million cap per user, just to keep the economy a little bit open for more development in the future, because our proposal of the crypto peso, like I've been telling you, we need to create an ecosystem that accompanies it, you know, that comes with it and help the usability and adoption of it. So we have created this platform called the EOS Club. That is, we're going to launch it in October, I hope. That is a massive directory of people that are willing to work or accept cryptocurrency as a means of commercial trade or professional payment. So it's like putting together the people and the business that are actually using the crypto peso. You know, again, thinking in a tool that is useful for that. So it's a crypto peso, and then with EOS Club, you know where you can spend that crypto peso. And right now we're working with a project to bring a native wallet, mobile wallet, because cell phone is the, you know, piece of technology that most Venezuelans can afford to use. Mm-hmm. So a mobile wallet that have a special system of tellers. The teller is a person that is willing to exchange, you know, crypto peso or cryptocurrency for the local currency, the local fiat. So this bridge, the person, of course, gets a little percentage of the transaction, and that's all. So we create the bridge from the fiduciary money to the crypto money, and we create jobs doing that, because now the teller is another opportunity of a business, you know, a small business for people everywhere around the country. So again, we think about creating jobs, creating opportunities to get into the business, to get into the ecosystem, and make it easier to use it to be part of your day-to-day life.
So that's pretty exciting. I think let's go back to the airdrop real quick. So what you're going to do is you're going to find basically anybody who's from Venezuela. If they register, then they get to be a part of the airdrop, and they get a certain number of crypto pesos per person just for signing up.
Yeah, just 10 pesos.
10 crypto pesos, which is like one EOS, basically.
Exactly.
For somebody who's a token holder, EOS token holder.
Exactly. So it's pretty much like giving that one EOS to start out.
Okay, cool. And then they also get a free EOS account. Is that right?
That's what we're working right now. This is the thing. We have two ideas or two processes that we're working to see. It depends of the demand that we get. Mm-hmm. So right now we can have a quota that we can open accounts for people, you know, certain numbers per month. So let's say if we have 1,000 Venezuelans, yeah, we can do that in just a couple of months. If we get millions, then it's way change, because of course millions, that will be another level. But then that's how we're working with the exchanges. The crypto peso at the moment, it's in line to be listed in exchanges just at the end of the airdrop. If that happens right away, quickly, we can just send the crypto pesos to the account of someone in the exchange. And the exchange is a free account. So that would be the way that we could actually hold massive, massive demand. Mm-hmm. If it's small, we're willing to give the EOS accounts. But if it's a lot, we're going to do the exchange system.
Okay. And one thought I just had is you've probably heard about the identity solution that Block One is talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're waiting for that.
Right. Right. But they are saying that they're going to give away a free account, free EOS account, right, if somebody signs up through their identity solution. So that could be another way to.
Yeah. We don't want internally, that's what we're waiting for, to be honest. But because they haven't said any date or any idea of when it's going to be released, we don't want to just build the entire system
of course,
of that unreliable source. But yeah, of course, that will be the solution for everything.
So another thought, this is something I've talked about on the podcast before, but I don't know if this is actually possible. I haven't talked to somebody who's like knows the technical side of EOS well enough. But I know with a regular EOS account, you can have like a sub account, a sub permission level, mm-hmm. where it has its own address, but it's kind of under another address. I don't know how much more memory that adds to the account or how that works or if you can really do that, but I don't know, maybe you could have a bunch of accounts under kind of a master account for a lower cost. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that could be a possibility, but we need to be very careful about the idea that technically the master account could be in control of everything
right.
else.
Right. Right. And, that's a problem.
And because our speech and our ideals, we just don't want any central power around this. It's not good, you know? It's not good to even have that door, because what we want to believe is that this decentralization and these technologies are actually the solution to not have to rely on the will and the good faith of people. What we want to do is this, the better and the more efficient. So, yeah.
Absolutely. So that's the airdrop to Venezuelan citizens. Does that also include, you mentioned a lot of people leaving Venezuela. Does that include people who, you know, recently left?
Yeah. What we use in our registry is the national ID. And we just check that to the public registry. And that's how we verify that it's not identity fraud. That's the only thing. We have this minimum KYC compliance in our airdrop just to like avoid any kind of scam or fraud. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just if you provide your what would be in the US like some sort of social security number, and we just check that in the public registry online, and yeah, you can get your crypto peso.
Okay, because getting money back into, like you were talking about, that'd be great for people who just left.
Yeah.
Send money back. Okay, so then we have the airdrop for EOS token holders, and that's going to be limited to 1 million per person. Yeah. So is there any other part of like airdrop or token sale or anything in addition to these two kind of airdrop components that we just talked about?
Right now, that's what we call the initial distribution process. And then we have 30% of the tokens issued allocated to what the EOS Club works will be. That this directory, like I'm telling you, we intend to become like the place to everyone just get connected, that the crypto world of Venezuela and Latin America. And as a way to incentivize the adoption of it, the native currency of the EOS Club will be the crypto peso. So for any kind of services that we can think within the platform as exposure on some sort of premium visibility or whatever thing that can be paid and used with crypto peso. And we're going to reward the new signings of the EOS Club with crypto peso. So we have in the white paper that in the beginning, we are willing to reward every new user with a quantity of crypto pesos until we reach a number of users. We put 1 million. When we reach 1 million users, we say, okay, that's enough. Yeah, the idea for us is to put the crypto peso in the hands of the people. Mm-hmm. That's the only way that will have value.
Sure. Yeah, so definitely.
So we're just looking for all the ways to like give it away and give it away with a purpose.
Uh-huh. So you're incentivizing individuals to join, you're incentivizing businesses to join and use it.
Exactly.
Are you doing anything to incentivize like referrals, like getting your friends to join?
To be honest, we haven't thought in something like that. But let's say that right now our roadmap just shows when we want to launch the EOS Club. So we're just working right now into building that minimum viable product, you know. Mm-hmm. After that, I think that it's all the possibilities to like create programs like this. Mm-hmm. If you compare, I remember when Binance, you know, the exchange started, you look at that and what is today is a whole new universe.
Oh, yeah.
Totally different thing. So that's a proof of success that you just have to adapt according to what the community is asking from you.
Sure.
And how the community wants to use your product. So we haven't thought about any referral because, I don't know, maybe lack of imagination. But
I was just trying to put myself in a position of, okay, I get to sign up for this. You know, I get kind of a special bonus because I'm Venezuelan. And I see that this could, you know, this has value, but it has more value when everybody uses it than it does if I'm just holding it, right? Yeah. So I could like... I'd maybe want to go to like my favorite restaurant or grocery store and say, hey, you should sign up for this, right? And because of the club, they'll get some pesos. But it could be even, you know, just one step more, maybe down the road. Like, oh, I get paid back if I get my grocery store, my restaurant, my
gas station. Like ambassadors of the club. Yeah, for sure. That's great. Yeah, John.
Yeah. Do it.
Yeah. For sure. I want to put you as one of the ambassadors.
Okay. Yeah, put me down. Cool. Well, this is really cool. Now, here's a question I have. This is kind of more on the technical side. How will transactions be powered? Because on EOS, you have to have some EOS staked in order to send transactions, right? And so if somebody is mostly just dealing in pesos, you know, would they need pesos staked for that? Or is that going to be staked kind of at the contract level? I don't really understand how that works.
The functioning of the EOS blockchain is like, if you have stake anything that just pays for that minimum of run that you need to have the bandwidth, everything is covered, no matter what token you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. So for the crypto peso, just like whatever, if you have EOS or if you have, I don't know, IQ tokens, or if you have any other token that is enough to pay for the RAM, for the bandwidth, you have transactions free. So that's the amazing thing about the EOS blockchain, about on the technical level. It's like, it's so easy to adopt, to use. And it's pretty much, it's completely, but you know, it's almost free.
Right, right. So does that mean like somebody who gets one of these free accounts, you'll pay for the RAM and then just a small amount of EOS to stake to run things?
Yeah, the amount that you paid for the account creation is what actually goes to that bandwidth that will allow you to do transactions. So that's the payment that you actually have to do. That's why to open an account, you have to pay, because you need a minimum of opening bandwidth to work with.
All right. Is there anything extra that EOS token holders have to do in order to claim their crypto peso? Is it like a normal airdrop where you just sit back and it shows up, or do we have to do something?
You just have to do the registry. That's why we call it the selective airdrop, because you have to be part of it. You have to sign up. And that's so easy. Trust me. It's just going to our website, eosvenezuela.io, go to the crypto peso tab, or you can just type /crypto peso, and then you will see a button that is airdrop, like sign here. And it's just clicking that and you will get to the form. And it's just a normal form. It's just a little bit of your info, your EOS account. And then we just put a small section in the end, like a feedback, whatever, if you have a question, because this is more for like the Venezuelan part. A lot of Venezuelans will be like, what is this? I'm not sure if I'm doing this all right. So that's why we just wanted to have that little open thing. But besides that, it's just so easy, so intuitive. Okay. And just that.
Cool. Yeah. I just opened it up just right now and I see eosvenezuela.io/airdrop.html. And we will put a link in the show notes for this. And I just clicked on register. It's right there at the top. It's just a basic form. It's not much here. Email address, country of residence, EOS address. If you're Venezuelan or not, you know, that's about it. So it looks pretty basic, at least from a non-Venezuelan perspective. It doesn't look like I have to really put in my driver's license or any personal information except for email address, right?
Yeah, I do that.
Very good. Well, that's exciting. I encourage everybody to go and do that and support Venezuela and a free financial system in Venezuela. You know, for me, I don't think most of our listeners are like this, but a lot of people are into cryptocurrency just to, you know, when Lambo, when Moon, like, are we going to make millions of dollars off of this and whatnot? Particularly with this project, I would definitely buy the well, not buy it, but register for this.
Well,
buy it on the exchange later, right? But and hold it. Like, I encourage people who are EOS token holders not to just get this airdrop and dump it or something like that, because this is really something to help people in Venezuela who are really oppressed in their financial system. And this is like one of the great hopes of cryptocurrency. And if this works, you know, it's a great testament to the world about the power of crypto. So I encourage you just to hold on to it and see that as a way to help Venezuela.
Yeah, thank you. Well, actually, you know that when you were saying the to the moon, I just got like a call with a friend, you know, that he just called me to ask exactly that. Okay, Roberto, but this is something I'm going to make money or what? And I'm just have this argument, you know, that we put in the white paper. The entire value of the crypto market, it comes from adoption, right? The more people use it, the more money comes in. The more money comes in, the price goes up. That's just raw offer and demand. And we're talking here about a project that is intended to be at the service of a country of, technically speaking, 30 million people living there, plus whatever other person that comes from the EOS holder world or the cryptocurrency or Venezuelans outside of Venezuela. So we're talking here about a tool that might be the integration of a whole new economy, a whole new population. And if you bring value to this coin will get more valuable itself. That's just simple math. So, you know, it's interesting what the crypto peso can be and what the crypto peso can be used for, you know? If we actually reach just a percentage of our population, we're talking about like bringing a nation to this specific token and the EOS economy, the cryptocurrency economy. This could be actually a very interesting impact to what we see as the mass adoption of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology around the world.
Absolutely. And it's places like Venezuela where it's most needed. And so I think it's most likely to succeed as well, because there aren't a lot of alternatives and people are going to be willing to try it. Now, here's a question for you. Is there any specific governance or like a contract that's involved with the crypto peso? And, you know, EOS has the EOS constitution and there's arbitration and things like that. But with the EOS peso, does it have its own set of governance rules?
No, we haven't thought about the crypto peso having a political agenda embedded to it, because again, we think that the means of value that people should use in Venezuela should have not be tied to a political agenda. It should be just free. Mm-hmm. It should be just neutral and works as it is and have the benefits of our modern technology that use online system and blockchain and global reach and all that. But a political vision shouldn't be tied to it, because that's what brought us right to the current situation in Venezuela. When the people that was just managing the public money thought that their idea was actually more important than the function of it. So, yeah, we didn't code that. The smart contract of the crypto peso is almost a replica of the smart contract that issued the tokens of the EOS token. Mm-hmm. Without that part.
Okay. Well, this is great. I keep saying this, I'm excited about this, but I'm just really excited. I think it's really great what you're doing. I wish you a lot of success, and I'm excited about it. I encourage everybody listening to go and register and support EOS Venezuela with your votes. And I'm sure that helps you guys continue with the crypto peso project as well. And Alberto, I really appreciate you coming on today, and thank you for joining me in exploring EOS.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been such a pleasurable conversation. Thank you for being such a nice host. And everyone, thank you for supporting us. Everyone that have been interested in what we're doing in our plans. You, JP, great supported right now. Thank you for everything. Thank you for your kind words. And it's a pleasure to be here. And whenever you want to invite me again, I will be here.
Awesome. Well, absolutely. I'd love to have you back down the road as things develop. And I appreciate your time today. And thanks everybody for taking the time to listen to today's episode. Please take a moment to leave us a review and a rating on your podcast app of choice and let us know what kind of guests you'd like to hear from in the future. Also, please head over to eosvenezuela.io or you can head over to exploringeos.com and find all the links related to this episode. Thank you again today for joining me in Exploring EOS. The content of the Exploring EOS show, videos, and website are for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, legal, or professional advice of any kind. You should not take action on any information provided without first consulting a professional advisor and doing your own due diligence. Investing in cryptocurrencies is risky. Please seek professional help.